Good morning. It certainly is good to see everyone this morning who has come out and assembled ourselves together. The last couple of days, I think, have reminded us that we still are in the middle of winter. I know the other day I was out in the garage, it was about 80 degrees, and my neighbor was mowing his grass, and I kind of lost track of the fact that it's still the middle of January. But despite the weather outside, we know that any day is a great day when we can assemble ourselves together with those of like precious faith, as we have come to do here this morning. This morning we're going to talk about an aspect of people, and as we know, the best example that we have for the way that we should live our lives is looking at Jesus, and we're going to look at how Jesus handled the aspect of pride. Certainly, in this life, we have certain things that we're proud of, we have accomplishments that we're able to obtain, and we have pride in that, and there's nothing wrong with that in and of itself, but we must realize that we can't let pride stand in our way of our duties to God and the things that we should do as a Christian. And as such, we're going to find out, hopefully in our lesson this morning, you'll see that Jesus was one who forsook pride in everything that he said and did, and thus he gives us an example to show us that the things of this world aren't as important as the spiritual things, and that we should always put God first. Our lesson this morning is going to be called Pride, a Stumbling Block, and our text will come from the letter of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So this morning we're going to look at the life of Jesus and some of the things that he did and some of the things about him that show forth the idea of, as Christians, we want to be Christ-like, and we should not let pride come in the way of doing the things that God would have us to do. But before we continue with that study this morning, we have a wonderful opportunity and privilege of going to God in prayer to make our wants and petitions known unto him and to offer thanksgiving for all the blessings that he has bestowed upon us. Certainly we need to remember those who are ill, those who couldn't be in the assembly this morning, and those others who are not feeling a full measure of health that are here. And remember, of course, those also who have lost loved ones. So at this time, won't you each humble yourselves in some manner while the one selected leads us in prayer. Apparently, the area in which Jesus was raised did not have a very good reputation at all. It was looked upon as we see here, Nathaniel said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? So obviously it was an area that was not of a very good reputation. John 1, 11 and 12. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we see that Jesus' own people, the people that he grew up around, and no doubt he must, even though he came from an area that didn't carry much influence and was looked upon with a bad reputation, the people there knew that Jesus was a good man. They had seen him grow up. They had seen that he was not one who would do any of the things that many of the people in the world would do. And unfortunately, some of the things we catch ourselves doing sometimes. He was of a good reputation, and yet his own people did not receive him. And as he said earlier, a prophet is without honor in his own country. John 7 and 5. John chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, but he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Here again we see where mission of Jesus was totally misunderstood. Here his brothers are trying to convince him to go out and to show the miracles that he could do. And we know that Jesus, even though he had authority from God and he had the power to heal people, He could cause the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the crippled to walk, and the dead to rise even. He wasn't to use these things to show off, so to speak. They were to show his authority from God, and he had to use them judiciously in order to to do that. And he wasn't trying to attract attention to himself simply because he could do these things. He had a very important message to teach, and miracles that he could perform were to give weight to the things that he taught. And he wasn't simply to go out and to, as they encouraged him to do, to show all the things that he could do just to get to have an influence on other people and to get people to come and to follow after him because of what he could do and not the message that he bought. In these things, we also see an important aspect that causes pride in people, and it's the influence that they have or the influence that they have over other people. And again, we know that this is something as Christians that we have to be careful about. We have to watch out who we hang around with, who we spend time with, and who we allow to influence us. I'd like now to look at Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. The prophet Isaiah here, in prophesying of the coming of Jesus, tells us that the physical appearance of Jesus is going to be such that it would not cause people to follow after him. In other words, he wasn't going to be a person of physical beauty that people would desire to follow after him. And this is very interesting because when we look at art, I know I studied art history more than I wanted to in college in order to get to finish my schooling there. But you look at art and you see many of the sculptures and paintings that are supposed to represent Jesus, and he always looks like a fair skin, blonde, blue eyes, which is all contrary to what most people in that area of the country look like, especially those of a Jewish descent. And artists have tried to depict Jesus as someone whose physical appearance would attract them, and the scriptures tell us quite the opposite. His physical appearance wouldn't be something that would attract people to him. And again, showing that the spiritual aspects of what Jesus brought to the world were much more important than the physical. Obviously, when we look in the world today, we see that appearance seems to mean everything to most people. It certainly, exercise is important to keep us healthy, and we have certain things that the scriptures tell us that we're going to look at the end of our lesson that tell us that we need to do in order to maintain our appearance. But again, we know that if we take too much pride in our appearance, I hope I'm going to spell this right. But appearance, again, is something that sometimes we take too much pride in and we think too much about. And again, it's something we need to be careful of because sometimes our appearance can be to our detriment instead of to our blessing. Matthew chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. As we study the life of Jesus in the Gospels, we see that Jesus went about with his disciples. They traveled from city to city. They would find people there who would take them into their homes and keep them while they were there teaching, or often they ended up sleeping in the streets. But regardless of this, Jesus never had it. Once he left the home of his mother, he never had a home, so to speak, to call his own. And we know that in this world, again, one of the things that attracts people is wealth. And people take a lot of pride in the wealth that they obtain. And again, we're certainly, we can be proud of the accomplishments that we have in this life, but when the desire to obtain wealth becomes more important than our spiritual lives, and we start to compromise the things that we know are right in order to gain and acquire and to keep wealth, We know that this is wrong, and this is something that Jesus showed that he found no pride in that whatsoever. He even said that God had provided for the animals places in which to live, but he had nowhere as such. We know that Jesus had a specific mission, and to him that meant everything, anything and everything in his life, and so much so that he denied himself the material things of life in order to pursue the spiritual mission that God had made for him. Basically, all he had was the clothes on his back. And again, this is something I think that's important for us to consider, and the fact that he was perfectly content in that, and that that was all that he needed out of this physical life. John chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. Now, about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" We're also going to read from Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. "And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." Luke chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. "And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." Here we see three different scriptures that tell us about the teachings of Jesus. We see that the Jews marveled, wondering how Jesus knew all these things, having never learned. In other words, he wasn't raised in the teachings of the Old Testament. We know that Paul, when we look at the life of Paul, that he was raised as a Pharisee, one of the strictest sects of the Jews. He learned under Gamaliel, who was known as one of the great teachers of the Old Testament at that time. Jesus did not have any of these things. The scripture that we read from Matthew was the ending of what's known as the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus was had finished speaking to the multitudes. At that time, it said the people were astonished at his doctrine. They just couldn't believe the things that he had to say, and they felt that he taught from authority and not as the scribes. In other words, Jesus was very confident in the things that he taught and said, because they came from God. And of course, these were things that seem old hat, so to speak, to us, because they're things that we've been exposed to all our lives, and it's kind of hard for us to take ourselves back to that point in history and to try to imagine the things that they were hearing. The Jews were ones who, in the most of the crowd at that time, was made up of the Jews. For generation after generation, they had lived by the old idea of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and Jesus is telling them, if someone strikes you, you don't hit them back, you turn your cheek and let them slap you on the other side of your face. And they just couldn't understand it. They were astonished at it. And again, this is one of the things that was a detriment to the Jews, because they were a proud people, and they couldn't accept that God would want them to do anything other than what they had been told to do under the Old Testament, and their pride stood in the way of their accepting Jesus as the Messiah. We also read from Luke chapter 2, where it talks about when Jesus was a child, and he wandered away from his parents and went into the temple. I believe he was about 12 years old at this time. And they also, the men that he spoke to there, were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And again, this was because he wasn't taught, he wasn't brought up or educated at all, for as far as we know. We know that he was subject unto his parents as he was raised, and the scriptures are silent concerning just about everything from the time that Jesus was born. And of course, we know that Mary and Joseph fled with him into Egypt to keep him from being killed by Herod. But with the exception of this little bit about him leaving his parents at this feast, and that's all we really know about the life of Jesus and all that we're meant to know and all the scriptures tell us. But we can necessarily infer that he wasn't educated, and as many of the Jews were, and yet he knew all the things that God would have him to know. And again, this shows us, if we want to be Christ-like, that we don't have to have degrees, we don't have to go off to theology school to learn to get up and to speak and to prepare a lesson and try to share edification with the congregation on the things that the Scriptures teach. Jesus had it by the power of God. He was with God the whole time for eternity, and he came to earth teaching the things that God would have us to do. And we can do the same thing. We can pick up the Scriptures and read, and in the Bible is the only place we're going to learn what it is that Jesus would have us to do. And the more that we study it, the more we learn about it, and the more that we can pass on to others as well. And again, we think about these things, we realize that, again, education is something that in the world we can take a great deal of pride in. If I know we have a couple of members of the congregation here who have master's degrees, and that's certainly commendable and something that they should be proud of. But again, we can't let this pride get the better of us, so to speak, and let it overtake the things that we need to do as Christians. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 19. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Isaiah 53 and 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Luke 15, 1 and 2. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The Jews were appalled. We see in these scriptures that the Jews were appalled with the fact that Jesus would eat and associate with sinners. And this was something that we know that Jesus said that he came for those who were in need of a physician. In other words, he didn't come to associate with the people who thought they were high and mighty as the scribes and Pharisees, and that they were above sin. As a matter of fact, when you read the Gospels, you realize that Jesus was constantly in conflict with these people, and they were the ones who should have recognized him. They were the ones who were supposedly were educated in the Scriptures, in the prophecies of the coming of the Messiah, and they should have been the ones who were there greeting him with open arms. And because Jesus wasn't saying the things they wanted to hear, they rejected him. And of course, we see that happens in the world today. We go out and we try to talk to people, we try to influence them with the way that we live our lives, and it's not what they want to hear. That's why there's who knows how many different denominations and so-called religious organizations today, because people will shop for a religion just like they'll shop for a car or anything, clothes or anything else. If they look long enough, they're going to find something that fits into their idea of what they want. And of course, today we realize that that's not going to get us into heaven. The thing that's going to get us into heaven is doing the things that Jesus asks and bringing our lives in line with the things that he teaches, and not going out and try to find our own way. In our text this morning, if you read down a little farther, Paul tells the Philippians that they have to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. And this doesn't mean that they can make up their own way. It just means that each and every person is responsible for their own salvation. And the only place you're going to find it is in the New Testament. And many people try to find religion and things that that they desire. They want to go to a an organization that has a lot of recreation or a good basketball team or beautiful singing and things of this nature. And we know that that's not what God wants us to do. And again, this all a lot of this has to do with pride. And many times we find that people will realize they've made mistakes. People will come in, they'll hear the word, and they'll realize it's the truth, but some pride within them keeps them from accepting it. As we talked about here, Jesus, even though he was criticized for eating with sinners and for being going into their houses, and we know that Jesus rebuked these things. Again, as he said, he came for those who were in need of a physician. Anyone who was sick is those who needed it. The sinners are the ones who needed him the most, because he came to give provide forgiveness of sins when he died on the cross. Also, if you remember when the woman who was caught in adultery was brought before him, he told the people there, ye who is without sin, cast the first stone. Because he realized when each and every person that was there looked inside themselves that they would realize that there was probably some sin that they were as guilty of as what they accused that woman of. And so none of them were able to stone her because they all realized that they had probably done something in their lives that they would have suffered the same fate if they had been caught or it had been brought to someone's attention. And certainly you can hide these things from men, but you can't hide them from God, because we know that God knows all things, and we can't hide our sins from Him. We have to seek forgiveness of them by getting forgiveness from those we have wronged, and then by going to God and seeking His forgiveness, and that's the only way we're going to have a home in heaven. And all the pride in this world and all the things that we can obtain in this world aren't going to replace that. As we look at the things we talked about and pride, we know that we have to put pride aside, because all of these things are things that we have to think about in order to go to heaven. We know that Jesus said that he would set mother against daughter and father against son. Sometimes our family is going to stand in our way of going to heaven, and we have to realize that that God is important, and we have to put God first, even if it means that we're going to have conflicts with our family. We have to put influence aside. We can't let the influence of the world keep us from going to heaven, and we can avoid this in many ways. We can be careful about the people that we associate with, the places where we go, the things that we do. All these things influence us, and if they influence us in a negative way, that's going to cause us to drift farther and farther away from our purpose of going to heaven. As we said before, appearance, we know that the scriptures are specific in the things that they tell us about maintaining a modest appearance. We're not supposed to act or dress in a way that attracts attention. We should be clean and neat, but again, we're not trying to attract undue attention to ourselves. Wealth, again, this is something that we have to be careful of. As Brother Scott mentioned in his prayer this morning, we live in this country. Sometimes I think we take for granted the things that we have, and we don't realize, especially when we look at the victims of the tsunami and things of this nature, how blessed we really are. And how we have really an abundance, much more than most people. And we can't let that become too important to us that it keeps us from doing the things that we need to do as Christians. Also, we need to think about education. In this sense, educating ourselves on the things that God would have us to do, studying the Scriptures. We're commanded to study the Scriptures daily. And we need to do that. We need to study. We need to pray. We need to do all the things that God asks us to do, and be mindful of that, and not just come to church, come to the service on Lord's Day morning and try to get ourselves right for the hour or so that we're here in the service, and then go back into the world and forget those things. We need to be Christians 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our reputation, they say that a reputation takes a lifetime to build and a moment to destroy. And we've seen that happen time and time again to people. And certainly we need to have a good reputation in the world, but we can't do things that are contrary to the Word of God in order to build that reputation, because it's much better to have a reputation with God where Jesus is confessing us before the Father in heaven because we're doing the things that are right, than to have reputation with men. And we see these things, and we look at these, and we know that pride influences all these things. And that certainly if you were going to run for public office, you would want to make sure you had all these things in line. You'd want to make sure that you didn't have any skeletons in your closet, that you had good influence. We see politicians on TV are all primed and proper and have a good appearance. Many times they come from wealth. They have good education, and most of the time they have a good reputation. Sometimes once they obtain the office they're looking for, their reputation gets soiled, but these are the things that they try to do in order to win influence and power in this world, And of course, the only thing that we're trying to do is to obtain a home in heaven. So if we look at these same aspects and apply them to our lives in a Christian way, and we have a Christian perspective on how we handle these things, we're going to be much better off, and we're going to be able to win the prize of a home in heaven and obtain a crown of life for all eternity, which is something that we all should desire and seek out for, and one that we should not let such a thing as pride stand in our way or become a stumbling block to us. If there's something in our way that's causing us to stumble in this aspect, we need to put it away from us. So we know that the Bible teaches us that, if we try to hang on to those things that are contrary to the Word of God, it's going to drag us down like a millstone around your neck, or it's like trying to drag an anchor, so to speak. And sometimes if we think about these things and we apply a little bit of imagination and try to look at them in that respect, we realize what it's doing to us. If we have something that's keeping us from doing the things that God would have us to do, it's like trying to go through life with a big anchor on a rope or a chain that you're trying to pull behind you, and you can see that you're not going to get very far until you let go of that rope or chain. And that's something that I think we need to visualize for ourselves today, and realize that we have to put pride in this life aside and seek a home in heaven. That brings us to the conclusion of this lesson. As always, when we study the Word of God, we offer the services of the church to those who would. Won't you come while we stand and sing?